Justified.
Yeah, I was like, Jeopardy?
It's not what we watched. No.
That'll be entertaining, though. I haven't seen an episode of Jeopardy for a while.
Justified. Was it Justified? Oh. 9 hours into the podcast, it's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. This like punny, like just random garbage just falls out of my mouth now. Rambling nonsense.
What was your favorite moment in this episode?
I liked it a lot more towards the end because I felt like there were a lot of characters that I did not know who they were at all and just didn't have a clue what was going on. But towards the end, I started to clue into some things that were happening. So the very climactic scene where Neil McDonough gets his arm cut off.
Yeah.
It was very exciting because I really, you know, you follow that story through the second, the latter two thirds of the episode when he kidnaps the car with the boys and the mom and he's manipulating the cop and you just don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
The climax of that scene was probably my favorite part of the episode because it was very exciting.
It is really, really good. I think his name is Qualls, but he goes by a carpetbagger. So carpetbagger is like a southern term for like a foreigner from like a rich city.
Okay.
So he's a Detroit mafia. So the big thing with Justified is that this show, it rewards viewing and full understanding of the different houses and families that live in Harlan County.
Okay, so like mob families.
Gangs. Yeah, pretty much. So in season two, it's the Bennetts. In season three, it is Limehouse. So Limehouse and Nobles Hollow, who he's essentially just sort of the guardian of this really rich land. And so, like, when you see him cut off carpetbagger's arm, that's like the first time you actually see him almost like be like violent.
Okay.
He uses he's very much like Mags Bennett, who's the big bad in season two, where they don't resort to violence, and then when they do, you're like, holy shit, like they just are so threatening in their position of power.
Sure.
That you're like, I ain't going near that. So this episode in particular, Carpetbagger's basically he's pushed everything to its limit. So he comes in at the start of season three, like with a bit of swagger, thinking he's going to like run the Oxy, like drug ring. He wants to be the man here in Harlan, Kentucky, and he gets ahead of himself because he allies himself with too many different people, and then obviously reputation grows, and he gets too big for his own britches,
and as the big bad of the season, dies. Obviously this is the season finale, so it's the episode where he has to car kick. And I did pretty like much. As well that this was not. Like, although that was clearly like resolving the season arc with him, it wasn't the end of the episode. Like, you know, there's another sort of post commercials, I guess. Like,
because it is, there's commercials.
Like,
yeah.
I guess in America they would call them acts, like act 1, 2, 3, 4 across the course of an hour. Yeah. And like, that wasn't the final act. Like, the payoff to Boyd getting out because the older man takes the fall for the murders he's committed.
Yep.
And he literally is telling them that he's not guilty because he's saying, like, I did it to protect Boyd. I did it to protect Boyd.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, like, I'm doing this to protect Boyd. And so even I could get that. And I like that, you know, and then the cop went into voiceover, which actually turned out to not be voiceover. It was him having a conversation with
his ex-wife.
Okay. I don't know who she was, but some chick.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that it was cut together, it started as voiceover as if he was, you know, talking to the audience. And then it turned out it was, you know, directed at a character.
It's a bit jarring, right? Because you wouldn't expect it. Like, it's kind of weird because you don't really get that in the show, like, previously. And you're like, oh, like, who is he speaking to?
But I like the idea that, like, so my father-in-law is a cop. And, you know, there are a lot of things that he can't tell his family. And there are a lot of things that he carries, like psychologically, that are difficult because of the nature of his work and the things he has to see and deal with.
Yeah.
And the idea that you do have to unleash and unload, and you do, and it maybe when this guy is telling his ex-wife what happened, it sounds like for us as the audience, a summarized version of the resolve of the story, which it is. It's like, you know, it's exposition, but it's also like if he can compartmentalize it as a story or as a tale, removed from the reality of his life, because in this personal life, real world, he's telling a story of what happened and just recapping, it splits his personal life from the extreme perils of his professional life. Yeah. And I really like that as like a touch into cop psychology and needing to summarize by narrativizing your own life, yeah. even though it's a show, so it is a narrative.
Yeah, yeah. I think when Raylan is talking to his ex-wife, like, I find it it's a beautiful moment because it's his father, like, Arlo's his father.
The old man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, when he... It's interesting watching that because it's clear that Arlo has mental issues. So, I think from memory, he suffers from schizophrenia.
Okay.
But he's just... The dude is just warped. And I'm not saying mental health is warped, but, like, the dude's just crazy.
Yeah.
And he has that moment with Raylan where he was like, you know, like, I'm sorry for, you know, treating you like shit when you were a kid. And
you don't
buy it because Arlo has basically removed all goodwill because he's aligned with Boyd. But it's that sort of dialogue. And Justified, I think, is one of the best shows in terms of its dialogue. I don't think there's any other show... It is one of the best shows to have been produced with, like, this kind of dialogue. But at the end, when Raylan is talking to his ex-wife, there's that sort of moment where Arlo had obviously shot Teddy, Tom, and he was like, he knew it wasn't Boyd, so he must have thought it was me. And
yeah.
So that's that kind of moment. And then his ex-wife realizes, like, that's the kind of peril that Raylan's in. And then that carries over to the next season because she just leaves.
With the whole man in a hat thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is too dangerous for me to be involved in.
And she's pregnant, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So to protect the kid in season 4, she just disappears. Mainly because the actress was actually cast in the show. But it worked out perfectly because at that stage she hadn't been. And then she was cast in the off-season of Justified.
Yeah, because it kind of like... implies that that story is going to go to like a big place,
yeah.
With her realization,
yeah.
It being the like, you know, denouement of the episode,
yeah.
And then it can't because the actress is like, see us,
yeah.
And so they have to like turn that cliffhanger into something else,
yeah.
So that is pretty smart, like that's cool. I liked a lot of things about this show. I thought Neil McDonough's performance was phenomenal. Yeah, it always
he's amazing,
is.
Hey.
He's a funny one. Like, I was reading an interview with him recently, and he will never do sex scenes or like nude scenes because he is like super hype Christian, and he's like, wow. I don't think that's acting. That's like your body responding. So even if you're in character, even if you've got cameras on you, even if you've got a script, your body will respond to that situation. And in my Christian viewpoint, like, that's cheating on your wife. And I was like, okay. However, he has like no problem playing the villain and doing really violent, horrific things.
Yeah, he does some
in
really
everything that I've
shit.
Seen him in. And I'm like, okay, mate. Like, if you think that there is a blurred distinction between yourself and what you're portraying and playing, and that like, affects your value system, it's kind of weird that you're okay with doing so many extremely violent things. And I always think, you know, this is getting off topic a bit, but I think it's really interesting that as a society, we are so comfortable with representing and viewing violence, and we're not okay with representing and viewing pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's weird,
like,
right?
Porn is so taboo, whereas TV and it's not like super taboo, like most people use it, but like TV and movie violence is mainstream.
Mm.
You know, it's on like the ABC.
Yeah.
You don't get porn on like regular TV channels or in, you know, commercial films. And I just thought that was like so interesting that he's so anti representing the body experiencing pleasure, but he is okay to represent or enact the body receiving or delivering extreme physical trauma.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a bit off topic, but I thought it was interesting.
Well, I mean, the thing is his character is incredibly violent. Like, he's like, Carpetbagger does not fuck around.
And he's so sinister. Like, he's got those weird teeth that are too white, and his face that's like handsome but not good looking, like kind of scary. Like, the way that he smiles is just really like, there's just something uncanny valley off about him.
Yeah,
like, I think he's very good.
Yeah, the thing is with him, he walks into Harlan with confidence, and I think that's his ultimate downfall. So when he walks in at the start of season 3, you're like, oh, this guy does kind of mean business, but also he won't survive because it's the South, and the whole like purpose of the season really is to show off how dirty the South is. And there's that moment that Raylan has with Wynn in the camper and in the motorhome, and he has the gun and he basically plays like roulette.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
just like putting it through, and he's just like, "You're gonna answer my questions, right?" And he's just like, "What are you gonna do?" And he's like, "You're gonna shoot me?" And he would like flicks the barrel back in, and he's like,
"Look, I liked how like horrific it was in representing that, and I liked the exploration of some of the, if not like racial tension, like racial divisions in the South."
Mm.
But like, for example, the butcher guy,
yeah, like, Limehouse, yeah,
yeah, I did not understand him or like who he was or what he had to do with anything at all. And I felt like that from probably like the first half of the episode, whereas there are other things you've shown me out of context where I'm just like, okay, I'm able to follow this and pick it up yeah. pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I just think there are things you've shown me before, like, not similar in content, but similar in, like quality production values and quality script and quality acting performances, like The Leftovers.
Mm.
There are things you've shown me before that are similar in tone and content, like, Narcos and Quarry,
yeah,
and help me, eight episodes. Guy is in an acting school, but he's actually,
oh, Barry,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
There's things you've shown me, like, all like those kinds of shows that I think I preferred quite a bit to this.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting.
I think it's a good, like, it's a good representation of its like genre and of its like oeuvre, but I've seen that
portrayed
type
of
movie, yeah, like, or that type of content, just I think just done in a way that just spoke to me a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
everything else you've shown me, like, or even like Jack Ryan, which has the same kind of like, you know, violent tone, all of them talked to me more and inspired me to want to watch them more than this. I was like, this is good. I don't know if I would 100% commit to watching it when there are so many other variations of a theme that are out there that I personally liked better.
See, I'd argue that would it 50-50 of this season is that like Qualls is in it and he's a really good villain.
Yeah,
but then yeah, the other 50% is that Limehouse is in it and Limehouse is not a good villain. Like,
he's the butcher.
Yeah,
he's a villain. See, I didn't even get that.
Yeah, he's a villain. Okay. Well, but the thing is, he's really sort of grey, but he's a straight up villain.
Okay.
And the problem is that his arc and the Noble's Hollow arc in this season is kind of weak. And I think it also is a symptom of coming off the back of season two, which was so focused okay. on just the rise of the Bennett family, which is one of the gangs which basically is decimated by the end of season two, with Mags Bennett, because she's like this like grandma who's like really sweet but will poison people.
See, I think if you want to talk mafia family and psycho but sweet grandmas, like, nothing will ever beat Fargo season two for me.
Well, yeah.
That family were incredible. Yep. Like, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. I would argue that the Bennett family in, or mainly Mags, but the Bennett family and like Bennett arc in season two for Justified would be up there.
And I also think, you know, obviously by the time you get to a climax of three seasons, it's assumed that I didn't understand what was going on and who anyone was. Like,
yeah,
obviously you're invested by this point. And there were great things about it. Like the blonde actress who...
Oh, Ava. Yeah.
Hard as Nails. Yeah. She was amazing.
Ava's great. Yeah.
She was a really fantastic actress because she is like an unusual portrayal of someone stereotypically beautiful and capable of atrocities. And usually,
yes,
the only people who are like that are like femme fatales. So they'll like, you know, scratch your neck to like make you bleed out with their ridiculous nails, or they'll like subtly poison you.
Yep.
But you usually have beautiful, sweet characters.
Yep.
Or, like, psychotic villains who are just, you know, ugly through, like, bitter life experience.
Yeah.
And she was really interesting because she was a beautiful woman who was involved in this entire, like, underworld. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to be condescending and suggest that, you know, like, pretty girls can't do naughty things. But what I mean is, you don't see it often.
No,
it's not represented a lot.
Yeah.
And so that was a really interesting archetype, I thought.
Yeah, Ava grows a lot because she's like, she's the victim in like season one. And then
oh, yeah,
basically finds herself aligning with Boyd And Boyd is the villain, is basically a villain from day one until like the last episode of the series, because him and Raylan have a very close relationship, and that's why he keeps getting away with everything, because he's a very, very good... This is the thing. Boyd is a very, very good criminal.
And so, yeah, because he gets away at the end of season three.
Yep.
So presumably he just continues to get away.
Pretty much.
What was interesting, apart from that final scene with the cliffhanger where obviously his ex-wife realizes something which couldn't become anything in season four, if that scene hadn't been in it, I feel like, from what I saw, the show could have been over. Like, it was a season finale, but it could have been a series finale.
Yeah.
Because, like, if Boyd gets out, it's like, okay, well, you know, he's just continually going to win, like, the end. And he was a good actor, too. His hairline bizarre, made me right? crazy. Yeah. I was like, I can't even look at you and take you seriously.
Yeah.
But he was a good, intense actor. Yeah. And I see what you mean, that he just is comfortable and confident with, like, getting away with it.
In terms of your reservations for the show,
yeah,
would you say that you're one of the leading ones would be the fact that it's based in the Deep South?
No, not at all. No, okay. that didn't impact me. Like, I'm interested in that because you don't see it often. Mm. It was just a bit too confusing for me. That's all, and it could just be the contextless thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, as I say, other things that you've shown me that are similar that I've just clued into quicker.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit. I just didn't understand enough of what was going on. And because I felt alienated from the context, it just made me feel like I've seen this type of thing done better or done in a way that resonated with me more.
Yeah, you're not sitting there going, you know what? Like, that was really good. Like,
It was like 70%. Like, if this, you know, if we lived in the 80s or the 90s when TV was far more limited, I would definitely sit down and watch it. It's just that now, there's so much choice about everything, and there's so many like similar genre things, and I already know that this show is finished and that I'd have to commit to watching six seasons. I'm just like, oh, do I, is it worth it when other things that I like more are like this?
And I mean, that's the main thing, is also like a six season commitment is huge, especially for something like this. I mean,
and I don't feel like this episode was enough to justify that for me to fully hook
boo.
Me in. Boo Orange. He is hot AF. He is babing.
Yeah, he's so good.
Huh? And I know that I say that about everyone in every episode, but like, yeah, he was like banging.
Yeah, but he really is like a beautiful dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
Don't even start me on him. But who's calling?
I told you that I would put my phone on airplane mode before we started recording, and you said don't worry about it. This is why I put it on airplane mode. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That was a cool sound.
Oh, that's just my text.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I think... After we finished, I sat there going, I probably should have shown you another episode. I had a John moment where I was like, I should have shown you something else. Or I should have shown you something, like, because I watched that, like, I really liked that episode, but I'm like...
So you were saying before, you wanted me to see that final scene, right?
There was, in episode three, but the rest of the episode's like, don't know, but just because, like,
that's what I do. That's what I was saying to you before. That's what I do to you. Like, I wanted you to see this one scene in The Tudors with Natalie Dormer, so you had to watch the whole episode. I wanted you to see Francis die in Paul Dark, so you had to see the whole episode. And you just forget, like, what actually surrounds that and what else is going on at the time. And it just might not be the best showcase for the episode, for the show.
I know, but I...
But it's interesting because you put so... I'm so sorry to keep interrupting. No. You put so much thought into the episode of Veep that you showed me.
Mm.
And yet, based on the tone of that, I sort of get the impression that no matter what you showed me from Veep, I would have been like, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly, right? I feel like I chose Justified because I was very curious to see how you would handle, you know, we were talking about in the Veep episode of dialogue, and Justified is quite similar, probably not so much with insults, but just how it delivers its dialogue.
Quick, yeah.
Very quick, very southern. And I was really curious to see how you would handle that. In terms of not understanding it, but just in terms of like, oh yeah, like this is this flow is okay. Because I know you were saying when you were watching Veep that the flow was a little bit jarring and you were still like processing.
Yeah, and you've got to stylistically get into that.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, obviously the accents are thick. Mm.
They really are.
And the idioms are like specific.
Mm.
But I think it's different with drama.
Yeah.
Like, with comedy, like, that style is purposeful to make you be like, oh, this isn't a joke, this is just how we talk, but what I'm actually saying is so awful that I'm just going to say it really quickly and offhand, and as the audience, you can just be, like, shocked by how casual I am about that, but actually, I've already said five things since I said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the joke.
Yeah.
Whereas with drama, like, you're a little bit more invested in the grounded reality of the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like the stylistic choice is still purposeful, but it's being made for a different reason. So that I didn't find off-putting at
all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, one thing I also liked was there were a lot of very cool mise-en-scene choices, like when the mom and the sons get kidnapped in the van, they had the little Christian crosses like hanging from the dashboard, and like they were just
stickers, and
when the car was like hearing away and are like a chase, you could see them in the background just like swinging around really like intensely.
Yeah.
And even in Boyd, who's like a hype criminal, even in his house there was a sign that said, oh, it wasn't like Jesus's love, but it was like something about God.
Yeah,
like trusting God or
the deep south, like that's it.
That's what I mean, right? So all these little like references to like this hype Pentecostal world where everyone is a criminal, it's kind of like, I guess, the New York, like, Italian Catholic mafia.
Yeah.
But, yes, like...
That's great, yeah.
But for, like, Deep South, like, really intense, like, cruel, traumatic Protestantism.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, and I liked all the little touches toward... Like, that told you where you were without words.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Did you find that helped, I guess, inhabit... like for you to like get into the world, because Justified does I think a very good job. You know, I was saying when we were watching the show does a very good job of putting you in the heat of Kentucky.
Yeah, and making you feel tense. Yeah. Look, to be honest, it wasn't so much that. I just like the attention to detail.
Yeah,
right. And as I say, you know, I guess to a degree it contributes to grounding you in place, and it tells you like what. It contextualizes this world for you if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, for sure.
So yes, it did, you're right, like, put you in the heat of it and make it feel tense. But I guess, like, you know, if you look at, like, the neutral zone in Man in the High Castle,
yeah,
like, that is completely fictional. And also, even if Germany had won the war, that the idea of the neutral zone is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that would never happen.
No.
But... I felt like it was kind of similar in that it was just a very effective way to portray or represent visually the world that we are inhabiting to better inform your understanding. Mm. And that's impressive considering that I was watching a season 3 finale. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not, you know, all these little finishing touches, they're things that presumably long-term viewers would just take for granted as part of the show's aesthetic, but I was new to them. So I think I might recommend it, but
whether you'd watch it is another thing.
I just don't know if I would, just because I feel like you've shown me things that are similar that I preferred. I'm not even saying similar that are better. I'm just saying similar that I personally preferred.
That you would have been like, okay, yeah, I could commit to this, rather than being like, hey, like I recommend, like this episode was good and I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd watch the show, but I'd
probably, for sure.
Yeah, I'd recommend it for people that would like, let's say, for example, cop dramas, which, I mean, this is what it is.
But if I wanted to watch a show about a cop drama with a police person who might be, you know, like not taken seriously by the force, chasing a specific intense villain across the course of a season, based on things you've shown me, I would watch Narcos. I'd watch Narcos before I'd watch this. And they're the same, but one I prefer to the other.
Yeah.
But I didn't... That doesn't mean I didn't like this. It just means I've got too much choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a... That's one thing I wanted to do, an episode of just the choice of television, because we have too much now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, it's good. But yeah, you can get Justified on Stan.
Oh, yeah, which iTunes. Is worthwhile, yeah.
Yeah, which was great. I was saying to you before we started taping, before we started watching the show, I was like... petrified trying to find it because the show finished a few years ago, and then I was like, oh, it's on Stan, that's great. So yeah, it's on Stan and on iTunes if you want to buy it there and stream it there. Very easy. Every single season is on there. In my opinion, it's worth watching. Not in John's, but it's okay. Well, I mean, it could be worth watching.
Look, if you log on to Stan and you have the choice between watching this or RuPaul's Drag Race, 1000% watch this every time.
Yeah, one day we're going to review RuPaul's just for John.
We're not. We'll never do that.
One day.
Never.
Are just you sure?
Watch. Yeah, no. Like, like in comparison, this is the best TV show I've ever seen. Aww. Definitely watch it.
Yes. That's great. I knew I'd get you to say
that. Not that big a compliment. In comparison to RuPaul.
Oh, dear. All right. We need to get off RuPaul before you start getting into a tangent.
Oh, look.
No more.
Sounds up.
Banzer. As always, you can get us on iTunes and Spotify. what the hell is this show? And we're doing Feast for Thrones.
Yeah.
It is back. I don't know. We'll actually probably be episode 3 or 4 by the time this episode releases. But yeah, keep an eye on it. It's going to go on the Definitely Not Popcorn feed and this particular feed. We're doing weekly reviews of the show as it ends in six weeks. Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Go on. We won't be doing that on this podcast other than actually reviewing the show. So, yeah, it's fun. But anyway, yeah, keep an eye out for that and enjoy it. If you obviously have any feedback, hit us up on our respective social networks because we appreciate it and we do take it on board. And we are looking for new ideas as well.
Yeah, we're both going to be running out of shows soon. I've got a little list, but please, please hit us up with what you'd like to hear reviewed. We still always talk about watching something that you suggest that neither of us have ever seen.
Yeah.
So, pick a show, pick an episode. Hit us up.
Yeah, please do, because I'm running out of shit. Yeah, we're screwed. Anyway, we're going to go and record and watch another.
Last one for the day.
Yeah.
We are now, 9.5 hours in? We've just got one to go.
Yeah, 5 episodes today. Jesus.
Can do it.
Oh, I'm so happy. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, guys. We'll catch you next week.